from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
I'm so tired of hearing about the meaningful games in September. And by the way, BT, you may be losing your Mets over-under number. Time to start taking this team seriously here. We said before we left, I was not worried about the Mets being buried in this old dreadful 10-game West Coast road trip. How are they going to survive? All this team done has shown resiliency all year long. And then the question I would have today is, why aren't we raising the expectation here? Why is it, well, meaningful games in September as opposed to, hey, if you get in the postseason, the Mets have as good a chance as anybody, BT. This is not the little engine that could. This is not some team that's going to back their way into the postseason. This is a team that is playing as well as anybody in Major League Baseball, not just for the last 10 days or month, really going back since the end of May, beginning of June, the Mets have been as good as anybody in the sport.
Can I break a little news here for a second? A little breaking news. It's okay to change opinions, you know? So the opinion and the feeling, more than the opinion, just the feeling by most Met fans right now is an awesome one.
Right.
You've got conviction. You've got hope. You've got tangible reasons to latch on to this team. Fair?
Yes.
Okay.
And we'll go over those reasons.
Oh,
by
no
the way.
Doubt. No
not
doubt.
Just about look at their record and whatever. No, there's reasons to believe in this.
I agree. It's not like this. Well, right. You know, no, there's tangible stuff we'll get to. So changing the opinion is part of it's part of our job. Now, the feelings that the Met fan has now, they were, I'm guessing, a little different. And I remember the shows that we did, and I remember what I was saying. I remember what you were saying. I remember what everybody was saying when the Mets got absolutely waxed in Seattle by the aggregate score of 22-1. How did the Mets follow that up? They came home and they lost 2 out of 3 to the only major league team that basically doesn't have a home in the Oakland / Sacramento / Vegas A's. What does that mean today? That means nothing today, because I am here and I've watched every game on vacation, as you have as well.
No,
job.
Not every game. But
well,
yes,
I didn't say every.
I followed along. But
I didn't say every pitch. I said every game.
True, yeah.
When we left, the Mets were 67-61, and I didn't take them that seriously. Every time it came up, which was basically every day, because we talk Yanks and Mets every day, I said it's a cute story, and unfortunately for Met fans, I believe they're going to fall a little short. I've said that multiple times. I do not think they will make the playoffs. To sit here today and to remain married to that opinion, while I might ultimately be right, because right now they're not officially a playoff team, but to be dug in so deep to not recognize what the Mets have been doing and how they look, and by the way, amazing crowd last night, would be flat out wrong and unfair. Mets are good.
Yeah.
Mets are a good team.
Well, that's the point. I think that's, and it's nice to have you on board with that.
It took me, it's September. And I had to earn it, dude. And
by the way, we'll get to Lindor a little bit later on and see if there's been some change about that. I mean, there's 25 games to go. I don't know what you're waiting for at this particular point. No, but they have been, which is why I felt like they weren't going to get buried. I wasn't, like, or deep down, was there a little bit of a part of me that was worried about it going wrong? Of course, just because that's, you know, I've been burnt as a fan so many times. But the reality is this particular team has shown you they have been a good team. Matter of fact, since June 1st, which I think is a good way to go back, it's not just convenient. You're talking about now 3 months of the season. So are we going to value what happened more in April and May or from June 1st on? They have the third best record in baseball. Only the Diamondbacks and Astros have been better. Look at the teams that the Mets have beaten. Yeah, all right, they blew an opportunity on the Hawk Tua game. Yeah, they blew an opportunity to sweep the Marlins. Yeah, they blew opportunities on this West Coast trip. They could have been 9-1.
I know.
For goodness sake, blowing some games. But you know what? They bounce back. They respond. They win series against the Diamondbacks. They split a series against the Padres. Could have been 3 out of 4. They did what they needed to do against the White Sox. They took care of Boston last night at home. They are, and to me, the biggest part of all this, because you and I both agreed on one thing with the Mets. What would be their biggest weakness in your mind preventing us from really
buying? The pitching.
Correct.
Yeah.
Look at what's happened with the starting pitching.
Yep.
Sean Manaea has been an ace.
He's been
ace-like. Yeah. He's been an ace. And
Peterson.
Peterson's been terrific as well. And Severino. So the starting rotation has been good. Yeah, all right, Diaz is going to blow some games. Hey, that happens. He's also going to bounce back and go strike out the side for an inning. Maton has been a revelation in that bullpen. He's been the best arm that they acquired. So bullpen, okay. Starters have been good. And the offense, Lindor clearly carrying it, but they have a team that can, if they get in. Now, I'm not saying they're going to get in and they're better than the Braves or Padres or Diamondbacks. My biggest question was, is this team finally going to show some guts and go head-to-head with Atlanta and beat them for that final spot? By the way, BT, it might come down to the Padres or Diamondbacks. Who knows? Mm. Mets are closing the gap on those teams. But they have to prove as a group that they could get over the hump and get in. I'm not predicting whether they will or won't. All I'm saying is they're playing as well as anybody in the sport for the better part of 3 months, and they should raise the expectations to even more than just getting in the postseason.
Oh, they definitely have. They certainly have. I think it's, you know, what's really up for discussion now is how much is that positivity or that conviction permeated fans or maybe dissenting voices like me along the way.
Yeah, yeah.
See, there's two very different things at play here. And they really intersect for a moment, but then they go in wildly different directions, much like the Jets with certain things. And it's hard, and you'll see what I mean, but with the Jets reference there, it's hard to remain on the same plane. Because on one hand, you're looking at this Mets team and, you know, the different iterations they presented this year, 11 games under 500, all the losing streak, then playing very well for most of the season. Like, who are these Mets? Well, I think by now, you know, the Mets have shown who they are. They're good. I'm not saying they're amazing. Right. They're good. They're resilient. And at this point, I do believe they will be here for the rest of the season. I do not sense an implosion.
I mean, there's 25 games left.
Well, but we've seen previous Met teams implode.
Understood.
You know, up 7 with 17 to go. That's why I say the Jet thing. So, so there's the 2024 Mets, but then there's the Mets. Like the big circle Mets. Like, I promise you, if we get to December and the Jets have 9 wins and they're 9-2, there's going to be a faction of Jet fans that are terrified that the floor's about to just boom, from just gone. And then you just drop and you implode like Boomer's team. I'm not a dig at Boomer, but with Pete Carroll when they went winless in December, all the other things that happened. Like, I'm able to do, because I'm not a Mets fan, so it's more emotionless for me. I can separate the sordid Mets history from this team, because this team has nothing to do with previous Doug Sisk or whatever other name you want to throw in from the past.
No, but here's what it does have to do with the recent years that have failed. 2022, this team, they didn't choke away the division, but they went toe-to-toe, eye-to-eye with the Atlanta Braves, and they got beat. Same core guys. 2023, going into the season with World Series aspirations and expectations through the roof, and they failed miserably. This core is the same. So while I'm a Met fan, I have endured, you know, the collapse with 7.5 games or whatever it was with 17 to play, 7 games to go with 17 to play, and they blow that lead or you know, the final day of Shea Stadium or 06, the way that ended, whatever. Reference any year you want, even before that, the early 90s, whatever it may be. I'm eliminating that as well because it has nothing to do with this team. However, what it does have to do with this team is the same core that hasn't exceeded or lived up to the expectations, starting with 2022 and then, of course, last season. They have to prove to me that they can beat the Braves and they can get the job done. Getting close enough, like, I don't know where, actually, I do know where this came from. Will Pons years ago, many years ago, said, we want to be playing meaningful games in September. Ugh. And for some reason, that's become a popular phrase with this franchise. Meaningful games in September. Meaningful. What does that mean? Meaningful games. No, I want to win in October. That should be the new slogan. Not meaningful games in September. If the Mets fall short, that is a failure. It's not about, oh, well, they did a good job.
Yeah.
No, go get a spot. It's there for the taking. Now they're doing their job to try to make that happen. It's not going to be easy. Braves aren't going to collapse, you wouldn't think. And the Padres and Diamondbacks, same thing. Go get it, though. I don't want to hear about meaningful games in September. Like, that's some, what, are we going to hang a banner that they played some meaningful games on Labor Day?
Well, they used to hang the, you know, remember, Catch a Rising Star, baseball it ought to be, meaningful September games. No, I'm with you. You should wait. You're way past that. I think that the, you can hear, last night, you can hear it. Last night, with 35,000 people there, MVP.
Yeah.
He's not going to win the MVP, but he's second.
Yeah.
And he's in the discussion. Ohtani's all time, so he's not going to win it, but that's not the point. To me, I've often said, I know we'll get these calls going, BT and Sal on the Fan. Mm-hmm. Awesome to be back. We missed you guys. Obviously, football's here. Get to the Yankees later. We are pumped to be back. But I have said for a long time that the best season as a sports fan is the unexpected one. Now, yeah, it's about a championship, and nothing trumps a championship, but, you know, like even, like the first little flicker, like the 2020 Knicks, when they gave you that little flicker there, right?
2017 Yanks, I always use it as an example.
No doubt, right. I was going there. 2017 Yankees, and a host of others. You know, the Giants a couple of years ago, when they beat Minnesota in the playoffs, 2022 season. When you have very modest or negative or no expectations coming in, and you would cheat, like, the sound is different. The energy is different. And it's 24 games to go. The Mets are in it. The Mets have earned respect. I'm giving it to them this morning. And I've been the last one to do it. They've earned it. But it sounds different. If the Met fan right now, instead of hoping, they believe.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful sound.
And they got to finish the job.
Yeah.
Because unlike, the season's with
no second place prizes in New York City.
The goal is to make the postseason. That was their goal from the beginning. And now they got to finish the job. They're right there. And think about it, BT, gaining ground on that 10-game West Coast trip that people were worried that might bury them. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Charlie is in Bethpage. What's up, Charlie?
Oh, boys, welcome back. I hope you had a great vacation.
Thank you. We did.
That is great. But first of all, I'd like to say, hey, BT, great job on that Yankee broadcast.
Ah, thanks, man.
You and Joe Bedingley on that Saturday morning hit it off. I was on a vacation. Great listening. Made it easy for the drive. And now with my Mets, pick up the girlfriend last night at LaGuardia. Boom, head over to Citi Field. The fans are into it. Nice crowd for a Monday night, Labor Day weekend. Figured everybody's out east or at the beaches. And they're playing well. I buried them a week ago. When Musgrave pitched against them, he was like Sandy Koufax. And now, last night, that's a good way to start off. September with 2-0, 8-3 in the last 11. They're hitting the ball. I still don't like Nimmo in that second spot, but he had a big hit last night. Didn't look too great in that center field during that ball. But they're playing well. It seems like they're all in on it. Mendoza, I just like everything he's doing, everything he says. It feels great now. It's just amazing
Here's the thing, and thank you for the call, Charlie. And Charlie's a great example, right? He's a guy who's ripping the Mets and had him dead and buried and know they're going to blow it on the West Coast trip. How could they lose a game to Oakland that they were supposed to win? How could they not sweep the Marlins? Whatever. And now everybody, to your point, BT, is feeling great about it. Remember, there are still, 24 games you said to go?
25
games? Whatever it is, 24 games to go. They got to finish the job. Like, this is New York. I'm so sick and tired of, while I am as excited as anybody else to watch this team and have that playoff field. Matter of fact, I'm going to go tomorrow night.
Are you?
And for me, on a weeknight, I got invited. One of my buddies got tickets. Oh, my God.
Yeah, weeknight sale.
For me, on a weeknight, to go to Citi Field is a pain in the neck. So it's a big deal. Like, I know Evan's there every night, and a lot of fans go every night. For me, where I am now in Jersey, pain in the neck. But I'm going to go tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to it. Like, it's exciting. How could you not get wrapped up in what's going on with the Mets? As I've said, one of the best records in baseball since June 1st. Playing well, it is a playoff push. They got to finish the job, though. This is no more, you know, if they fall short, it's not like, well, they won 85, 86 games and nobody thought that they would do that. No, whatever it takes, I don't care if it takes 90 wins to get in. They need to do it. Otherwise, they have failed.
Failed is a strong word relative to that last point. Like, if the Mets had a 3 or 4 game lead now and they didn't make it, or even a 2 game lead, that's failure. But right now, you're half game out, which is basically a push.
Right.
Like, if the Mets go 17-7 and the
Braves.
That
should get them in, though.
I mean, it should, but I'm saying if it doesn't. Yeah. We still call that a failure?
Well, think about this. They're going to have the games with Atlanta head-to-head. They have 3 games with Atlanta in Atlanta head-to-head.
Yeah.
If it takes, if a sweep is needed, then so be it. Get the sweep. If it's 2 of 3, then get the 2 of 3. That's really what I want to see. And I also know that it's not just about them, as we said before. It could be about the Diamondbacks or the Padres, two of the hotter teams in baseball for an extended stretch as well. I don't want to hear it, BT. I'm not into consolation prizes or, well, meaningful gains in September, and what about next year? It's why I would have gone all in the deadline this year. I was very clear in saying what I would have done at the trade deadline, all in. They did not, and I think missed an opportunity. Think about it. Right now, with the way that they're playing, how could you argue that they couldn't go on a run in the postseason? Anything can happen in the baseball playoffs. We've seen that before. And if the Mets really solidified their team and loaded up, maybe they'd be in a better spot to go out there and try to chase a World Series. As opposed to what? Waiting for next year and waiting for the prospects? You don't know what's going to happen in the offseason or next year with these prospects. You're in it now.
Yeah. I listen to the station a lot. You know, like I said, I went to get the car washed and I played a little bit of golf. We'll get to some of our golf tales a little bit later in the show. I had some fun. Different things to tell you about, and vice versa. But I was in the car a lot, and I got to tell you, I feel like the Met fan in general was in a great place. Like, grounded, like enthusiastically grounded. Not delusional, you know, not over the top. Like, hey, listen, and I'm going to push back a little bit, Sal. I like, there's a difference between a consolation prize of finishing short of the race and lauding them. Like, if they finish 2 games out and they win 89 games, I'm not saying you throw a parade, but how do you crush them?
Because they weren't good enough.
Well, but yes, but that still represents a strong finish.
What if they traded for Blake Snell?
But that conversation's expired. I'm talking about right now.
But you're asking me. I can't speak for everybody. Yeah. I'm saying for me personally, I don't accept losing. I don't accept second place. I don't accept less than. I don't care. Now, I did accept a step back this year, but to make it a good year and special, they got to finish. They got to finish the job. Put the finishing touches on and get in. Like, there is not going to be any, well, they won 90 games, but they didn't get in. Well, that means they should have won 91 or 92 or 93 or whatever.
Well, literally, sure. But it also means that maybe, you know, if the first few bricks of the culture weren't weren't placed properly by Mendoza, maybe they would have fallen 9 games short.
I know, but I've heard,
I understand
I've
what you're saying,
this,
by the way.
I've heard this before. And by the way.
And I respect that. That's a good mentality. But, man, it's coming from me.
Yeah, I know.
Me.
I know.
Like, if they go 17-7, 16-8, how the hell am I going to bury this team?
No, bury.
I can't do that.
Bury is different than say that they have failed or didn't, you know, live up to the expectation that the postseason. Hey, they said playoffs, right? We were wrong laughing at them saying, hey, this isn't a playoff team. 11 games under 500. What are you kidding me? Out of the gate, 0-5.
Yeah.
They were proven right about this team, that they were a legitimate team, and they should be taken seriously. Now they have to finish the job. I don't care if they win 90 games and don't get in. It's not, yeah, but that means somebody won more than you to get in the postseason. Doug is in Stratford, Connecticut. What's up, Doug?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
What's up, Doug?
Hey, what's up, brother? I got a couple of suggestions. Maybe I could be coach for the day. A big Met fan. I think we go right down the stretch. I think a couple things I'd like to say. We can't be coddling our players. We can't have Alvarez. He's got to go backup catcher right now. No worried about the no, he's got to. He can't even hit the ball.
He's a mess.
Terrible at bat. Look at his at bat.
He's
terrible.
A mess.
We got to score up the lineup, okay? Iglesias every day. I don't care if he's playing third and Biento's DHing. That's a great move. Shores up our defense. Nimmo's got to drop down in the order. We put Marte at second. The guy can steal. He can get a base and a run all by himself. What we got to do is par it and put the best lineup every day, every play.
Hey, Doug, let me ask you, Doug, I didn't mean to jump in, but don't you think that Mendoza's done a pretty good job of doing that? I mean Alonso's batted second, third, fourth. Huh. I mean Nimmo's bounced around. I mean, everybody's bounced around. Now, maybe with the catching situation, which, by the way, Mendoza addressed over the weekend, said Alvarez is our guy, even though you had two more doubles, a couple more hits from your backup from Torrens last night. That's a tough situation. I mean, you can't just, you're not going to forget about Francisco Alvarez. You're just not.
Here's the thing. Like, you're entitled to your opinion and you come on and talk about your team. Don't you think that Carlos Mendoza knows more about managing than you do? This is what we got to do. Move Nimmo down. Start this guy. Sit back. Just sit back, relax, and watch as Mendy does the work. He's been great all year long. I'm not going to sit here and criticize. If Mendoza feels like Torrens is going to be the guy eventually, which, by the way, he might be going in the postseason. Hey, he could say Alvarez is the guy right now, trying to give him a little confidence boost. Sure, he knows he needs Alvarez eventually. But if he's not getting the job done, he's going to go with Torrens. The proof is in the pudding. He's done that. He's benched McNeil before. Mm-hmm. You know, he's
lowered. He put took Pete out of the four spot.
Correct.
He doesn't care about that.
Cut guys, you know, Narvaez, whatever it may be early on.
Yeah.
Wendell not getting the job done. The Mets have held guys accountable. It's one of the reasons why they have one of the best records in baseball since June 1st. Hard to believe, but the Mets should be taken seriously.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This happened. You talked about it on The Fan.
And the ball game's over. And the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
BT and Sal back on The Fan, 888-808-1019. I cannot believe we have football coming up Thursday night, Friday night, of course, Sunday. We'll get to that as the week goes. I'm going to get to some stuff today, too. But we started the show talking about the Mets here, red hot. And you mentioned it before, BT, about Lindor, and he's an MVP candidate, but he's probably not going to win the MVP. Why not? Because I'm on the side with a lot of the people who are saying that a DH, you know, I really didn't even give it much thought because Ohtani's Ohtani, and I know he's going to win. Whether he's going to win or not, it doesn't mean that we can't have the conversation. So Ohtani's going to win because everybody loves him and they think he's the greatest player ever. However, he's playing half the game. Yep. How could Francisco Lindor not be more valuable being out there every single day playing defense at an elite level at a premium position? How could you not say that he's more valuable than a DH?
Well, I don't think that you can. I don't think that you can. He's still not going to win, but that doesn't mean
just
that the premise
Ohtani?
Is... Yeah, it's already done, which stinks.
He deserves it more.
Let me ask you this. So the Mets are 74-64. You take Lindor off this team and just put an average to slightly below average shortstop in his place. What are they going to win? 75 games?
Well, doesn't he lead the league in WAR? So you could actually, there's numbers that measure that.
Yeah,
you can actually quantify it more specifically. Something six. All right, so yeah. six games, and they're not even anywhere close.
Around. My point being, if you take Ohtani off of the Dodgers.
Yeah, they're still going to win the division.
I don't think they're 5-up on the Padres necessarily, but they're in better spot than the Mets. So, listen, I really wouldn't get too wrapped up in that, although I understand why you push back, because there's definitely merit to DH versus, it's not like he's playing first base, he's playing up the middle, playing shortstop. Right. But can I just say this? This is exactly what I've been screaming about from Lindor for years. I mean, the slow starts, okay, we went through that a million times. And then he kind of gets hot, you know, and the numbers are good, but it doesn't really have influence on the season. You know what he did in August? Hit 325 with an OPS of 940. This is what I expected from him.
Right. No, I get it. Holding him to a higher level of play.
Yeah.
He's been, now I don't know if we can, I'm sure somebody can and somebody has probably, I don't know how to do it myself, but if you look at his numbers since being moved into the leadoff spot.
I'll give it to you right now. Okay. I got you.
Francisco Lindor since, what was the end of May?
Yeah, right around there.
I would say that his numbers have to be better, at the very least on par with anything he's done in his career, but probably better. Think about where his numbers are at in total. He's hitting 271 right now.
I got it for you.
OPS of 835. Like, this is, you always have said Cleveland type stuff. We haven't seen that. Well, now I think he's been even better. Since the leadoff spot, he's been better than anything he's done in his career before.
He, let's see, batting first, he's got, that's for his career. No, that's for, okay, there we go. So that's what I thought. Mm-hmm. So, 865 OPS.
Okay.
There you go. 865 OPS.
His highest career OPS, 871. That came in 2018 with Cleveland. Okay.
Yeah, so very comparable. Right. And, you know, he's on pace for like 40 doubles.
Dude, he's going to hit 30 home runs again. He's got 25 steals.
He's been running, and they even said that on the broadcast, Leslie. He's been stuck on 25, too. But whatever, he's going to get 30.
I got my over, that's all I care about.
That's true.
But he should be able to get 30.
He's going
to. I mean, think about it. He plays gold glove defense. He plays every single day. He's going to be another 30-and-30 guy. I mean, if he has a good, like, he probably won't get to 100, but it'll be right around, you know, between 95, maybe 90, 95, something like that, as far as Ribbies goes. You know, run scored, I've over 100 runs scored. I mean, Francisco Lindor right now, and again, games played leads the league. Played appearances leads the league. At-bats leads the league. I just believe if you take everything that he's done, and you look at the numbers now, and they're good now.
Mm-hmm.
Factor in how bad April and the beginning part of May were.
And March, but a couple games, some at-bats in March,
okay.
Too.
Factor in the beginning of the season how awful he was.
Yeah.
Even more so those numbers since being moved into the leadoff spot. He's been incredible for an extended period here.
And he hasn't had, unlike, you know, Soto, who has Judge, he hasn't had an amazing presence behind him. Pete's been okay.
He's been inconsistent. Who's even hitting behind him?
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's true.
I mean,
like,
literally,
who's the actual person, and then what's the actual production? And, you know, even Nimmo in the two spot, you know, Nimmo's had a down year. He's, you know, he's had some sparks here and there, but he hasn't had a great season. You know, the other thing, too, so I would push back on, hey, when the season's being truly defined, like now, and obviously August, like the go time, pennant race, what are you going to do? Well, he's responded, which is amazing. I tip my cap. It's great to see.
He's been clutch, man.
This is what
I
thought they were getting.
Right.
Okay, but the other thing that I always push back on, and Met fans, and I understood why they did this, but I wasn't latching on to this as much because it didn't mean as much to me because the results weren't there. This is what I would hear. He plays every day. He's a great leader. He's enthusiastic. Fantastic. You know, can you put up massive numbers?
Right.
Like, now that the numbers are there, now to me, and maybe I'm wrong, but to me, the leadership, the energy, that means more to me because it's supported by big-time numbers.
Right.
I mean, that's what I was always screaming for.
Are you ready to say that he is a superstar?
He has played like a superstar this year, no doubt. Yeah. There's no dot, dot, dot. There's no buts. There's no shade. There's no joke. He's played like a superstar this year. However, there is one little however, comma.
Yeah.
You got to finish the job.
Correct. But, I mean, there's only 24 games to go here.
But, I understood.
And you mean getting him in the postseason or just finish the season?
At least him personally. Yeah. Like, if the Mets fall two games short and he hits 290 at his OPS for September, and his OPS is 830, like, good. Then he had a superstar season. If he hits 209, I'm not saying he's going to.
Right.
But now you got to finish the race.
If you, and we'll get back to the calls here in a second, 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan. If you had a vote, who's getting your MVP vote in the National League?
I'd still say Ohtani.
What?
But it's a lot closer.
Yeah, oh, yeah. You disappointed me there. I thought I laid you up. I teed you up for that.
I can't just give you what you want to hear.
I thought for sure. But you were just saying before it means more for a guy who's playing shortstop, premier position up the middle.
Well, it does.
How'd you go Ohtani?
It does if the numbers are comparable. I mean, Ohtani's numbers are ridiculous, dude. He might go 50-50.
I understand
what
that.
What are you doing here?
He's a DH. Big deal.
I understand. Don't please. Come on.
Big deal.
33 minutes of praise and 30-second answer. Yeah. You're gonna turn this against me with the Lindor stuff?
No.
He's been phenomenal. Ohtani's going to win the MVP, and in my opinion, he should.
Well, he's going to.
But it's going to be closer than I thought when we last did our show, August 23rd.
I understand. I'm just saying your vote. Like, I know Ohtani's going to win, and I understand why.
You know, I'll tell you why. Because Betts missed a lot of time. And while I still think the Dodgers would be good, Freeman, some other pieces, of course. But, like, without Mookie Betts for a long chunk of the season, Ohtani kind of carried him. He did. Let me just look at his exact. I mean, he's hitting two. He's got a higher average.
Yeah.
He's got 44 home runs, 46 steals, dude. Like, he's going 50-50. It's Ohtani's award.
He hasn't played in the field.
You can push back all you
I'm
want.
Just saying,
My vote is Ohtani.
I'm just giving you facts. One guy's going to win a gold glove. The other guy doesn't even know what a glove is. Come on.
I mean, 50-50? 50-50.
Yeah, exactly. That's just like he plays the game. 50-50. He plays half the game.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. I'm not trying to knock Ohtani.
No, you're not. And his OPS is .993. I mean, Ohtani's been insane,
He plays
man.
Half the game, though.
He might even have 200 hits, Ohtani.
It's just on principle. How could you vote for a DH? All he has to do is hit.
Lindor's playing.
He plays every single day. He plays shortstop, and he plays it at an elite level. I think it's a fascinating conversation.
I do, too.
I'm not saying Lindor's a better player than Ohtani, but my God, I mean, he plays baseball. Ohtani just hits.
I'd vote for Ohtani.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Pete is in Seaford. What's up, Pete?
Hey, guys, good morning. The Lindor MVP thing really quick. It's a shame, but when you look at his page on Baseball Reference, it'll say MVP2 for 2024, which is a shame because if you took them off the Mets, they are, by war, 6-7 games worse. They're probably more like 10 or 12 games worse. And I know Showalter was on MLB Network over the weekend giving Lindor his flowers in terms of the MVP conversation.
Did Bob talk about Vientos at all? I'd like to hear those comments.
I know what he thinks about Lindor.
I also know what he thought about Vientos. I'd like to hear him comment on that. Anyway, good.
But just a quick state of the Mets and the Yankees as we hit September here. The Yankees really had a chance to get fat over the last 3 weeks. Since June 1st, they have like the 15th or 16th best record in baseball. The only reason they're still in first place is because the Orioles have only been slightly better than the Yankees over the last 3 months. And the Yankees had a chance to put distance. They did it. On the other side, the Mets have the third best record in baseball since June 1st. But who has the best record? The Diamondbacks, a team that they're chasing. Who has the fourth best record? The Padres, a team that they're chasing. The Braves just came off a hot streak even after Austin Riley went down.
The Cubs are red hot. Seven straight Cubbies.
Yeah.
The Cubs are red hot. And, it's just a tale of two leagues right now where you want to say the American League has a little bit more parity. More teams that are evenly matched compared to the National League. It's just very interesting as we sit here on September the 3rd. The Yankees have been sputtering and are still in first place, and the Mets have been thriving and are...
Correct, Pete, and thank you for the call. And we'll get to the Yankees coming up in just a little bit. Obviously, we want to talk to them, and they are a big part of the conversation, but you're exactly right. This is not about Mets versus Yankees. It's not even about overall record. It's about look at what the teams have done the majority of the season. I'm giving you the reference point. Go to June 1st. And it's not convenient just to fit my argument. It's the last 3 months of baseball. Look at the records starting with June 1st on. The last three full months. That's a large sample size. The Mets have one of the best records in the sport. You know why I say that, BT? You know why I say it so loud? Because I'm trying to get myself to even hear it. Because if you were to tell me that the Mets would have the third best record in baseball, I'm like, come on. But the Mets are one of the best teams in baseball. But there's a part of me that tries to be like, nah, not really, and diminish it. The facts are that since June 1st, they have the third best record in the entire sport.
Mm-hmm.
3 months, not 3 weeks, not three games. For 3 months, the Mets have the third best record in the entire sport. That means that they are as good as anybody for a large period of time here.
It does. It does. But it also means that they were as flawed as anybody, which, you know, built this deficit that they had to recover from, which to their credit they have.
Right. I mean, okay, fair. But are you going to then still stick to, and again, we'll get to the Yankees conversation, but it's the same type conversation.
Uh-huh.
Are you going to judge them, the Mets in this case, April, May, or more June on?
It's a very easy answer. The Mets have played more quality ball than they have not. That's it.
Right. Well, I mean, well, that's the point. It's not even just a convenient 2 months. It's a larger sample size.
It's longer. More, it's more games.
And more recent.
All the June, all the July, right. All the August. We're into early September. Right. So, boom.
More recent.
Start a homestand now. No, they played better baseball than they have not. I think that's irrefutable,
and
statistically.
And it's not just about the Yankees. Yeah, look at the other teams as well. The Orioles, all these teams have been kind of treading water.
Yankees keep leaving these wins on the table, by the way. Yankees keep leaving these wins. I know we'll get to them, but they keep leaving these wins on the table.
I'm going
to
tell you another thing. I don't think the NL East is out of the question either. I know it sounds nuts.
You say I always go a step
Phillies,
too far.
Phillies can't get out of their own way. They just beat the Braves. Thankfully, they took care of the Braves. But the Mets have closed the gap on it.
Well, you still buzzed from Saratoga, banging back 9,000 Surfsides?
Well,
Come on, dude. Let's worry about the wild card today.
Well, wait a second. They have 7 games still with the Phillies. Time to pay back everybody. Get the Braves out. Phillies, 17 games to go.
He's got his list. He's got his list.
Even better for the NFL since June 1st. Coming for you too, Philly. First, I got to catch Atlanta.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Contest. Wendy's, the official hamburger of the New York Yankees. Be the first call to correctly identify yesterday's turning point of the game at 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326. And you'll receive 2 pairs of tickets to a Yankee 2024 regular season game. It's all from your flagship station for New York Yankees baseball, The Fan. We'll get into the Yankees in about 13 minutes or so. Let's get back to the calls here, BT. One thing before we get back to the Mets calls, 888-808-1019. Senga might be returning. You know what's weird with Senga? He took forever to come back from an injury that most people thought he would be back sooner.
Yes.
Now, all of a sudden, it's like, oh, I might be back sooner than people expected. I thought at the time there was still a chance he could be back for the postseason, and he's saying now that he might be ready for the end of the regular season. Also, that he'd be open to any role, meaning, like, is he going to be able to be stretched out enough as a starter to go 5 or 6 innings, plus take away a spot in a rotation, so maybe he could pitch out of the bullpen? But imagine getting Senga back in anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate his flexibility, but quite frankly, he really hasn't earned the right to dictate terms either. He's done nothing this season. I mean, the Mets are where they are without him. Now, he was really good last year, clearly.
And good for the one, you know, half game that he was in there.
Yeah, yes. Looked very good, true, before he went down. But, I would almost look at it like an incredible midseason acquisition. I mean, really, because he had no influence on the season.
I don't want him coming out of the bullpen, though. I know beggars can't be choosers here, and you're just happy to get him back, but I just don't feel like he's a guy that's going to adapt well out of the bullpen. Even if he has to be a starter that goes 4 in it, whatever. Like, I'd rather that than have him come out of the bullpen. Plus, I mean, you find a spot for him. And I'm all with Senga. I don't care about the regular season. I care about the postseason. Now, with the Mets, they may need him in the regular season to get to the postseason. But if he can come back in the postseason and take the mound for a game in the postseason, all of a sudden with Manaea, Severino, Peterson, Senga.
No question. But why do you question his adaptability to the pen? We don't know anything about it.
There's something about his style.
Like a creature of habit.
Yeah, and a lot of guys are. Yep. But you think Senga, who it's taken, you know, forever to get on routine and get back, he's just going to be okay with coming out of the pen? Not to mention, you know, the at times, you know, can walk a ton of guys. Like, that drives me nuts.
As
a starter, you can work around a little bit easier. Coming into a game, you know, starting an inning clean, I guess, different.
Sure.
But coming into a game and trying to put out some fires, I don't think Senga has that in him.
Yeah.
Where Peterson, I feel like, could be more adaptable to that.
Peterson's been good, man.
I get it.
Been very really good. I'm not looking to take him out. He's earned it.
Me neither. And they wouldn't. I mean, it's going to be, I would think at this point, no matter what happens, if the Mets get to the playoffs, I would think it's going to be Manaea, Severino, Peterson.
I agree. I agree.
Now, they may only play three games in a wild card. Who knows? But after that, if they needed another arm, then Senga would probably be the fourth. But
yeah, I mean, listen, the other thing, too, the Mets probably, no matter what happens, won't have the luxury of resetting their rotation for the playoff. Yeah, exactly. So,
well, you could have Senga then pitching game one of a division series.
You could, if he's built up a little bit, even if you only squeeze four out of them.
And take that.
I mean, maybe.
Either way, it's nice to think about the possibility of getting him back. All right, 888-808-1019. Hector's calling from Washington Heights. What's up, Hector?
What's up, my guys? How we doing?
Good.
Very good. What, we want to come back here. A little bit more excitement than that. Well, you guys been too long? You forgot who I am? Good.
Get to your point, will you, Hector? I mean, I'm waiting for you to come out of the shoe hot, and you're stalling. What's going on?
You're the worst. Anyways, and I was going to say, I actually wish, I'll be catching Heath with saying the division is still within reach. What the heck with you? Just don't get too much on the mess, because you know what happens when you get too excited. We go down. But I wanted to be with Big T here with the whole Lindor thing, and I tried to say this before, and I got a little bit off track. But my problem with Lindor has always been this, and I think Big T touched on it too. The numbers were always there, but if you watch the game, and my argument always was, I'm watching these games, and not just Lindor, because P was guilty of it too, and other guys, there would be situations where you could impact the game, and he would come up short. And he would admit it too in the post game, and that's what always bothered me. But now, here we are now, where there isn't an opportunity that this guy lets go by. He's stepping up in every sense of the word, and you have to appreciate that. And I had to make that focal because I have been critical of this guy, and I know BT is core heat, and I've core heat about it, but this is what we wanted. This is what you were born here for. And I don't get into the money stuff or anything like that, but people are going to tell me, hey, this guy, and I see it too, one of the best shortstop, if not the best shortstop in the game right now, and all of this stuff, will play like it. And the truth is, unfortunately, at first he wasn't. This year, phenomenal. And he definitely should get that MVP, man. This DH MVP.
Impact.
I think it's time to get with the program and do a most outstanding offensive player. And you can give that crap to him.
Hector, that's MVP. Great. That's great that you want to talk about Lindor and his impact on the game. It says here on the screen you wanted to talk about you want more from the Mets. That's what I want to hear from you.
Absolutely. That's true. Well, yeah, because I don't think we've accomplished anything. I know what the expectations were coming into the season and all that stuff. You haven't accomplished not a damn thing. The season is what it is. And the way it's played out, we can talk about the squads and opportunities and where they could be right now, where that thought of a division wouldn't be so out of this world, right? So, yeah, this is great. Great road trip, 7-3, which I wanted. I wasn't one of those guys, 6-4, 5-5. Keep it going now.
And that's fair, BT, and thank you for the call, Hector. Raise the expectation. You should want more. I want more. It's nice to have them playing well, but now you get this close. Finish it off. Also, go chase down the Phillies. He's right. If they didn't squander a game against the A's or against the Marlins, all of a sudden they're 5.5 games back in the division.
Yep.
And while it's unlikely, it's still more realistic. But I think Hector's on point there with both those things. Number one, the impact for Lindor, like we talked about for years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the numbers are there, but sometimes those numbers can be a little empty. Now,
Sure. There's
no denying the impact that he's had on this team day in, day out, and also the fact that I think it's okay. I think you should, as a Met fan, want more from this team.
Of course. You should want more. You should expect more. But, you know, also from a team perspective, it's either going to be, you know, a cute little story,
right,
like a footnote that gets wiped away over time, except for the diehards that will remember every single pitch, somebody like Evan, or this becomes an all-time memory. And that's going to be defined over the next 3-4 weeks. That's it.
You know, you said something before, and I agree with you. Like, if the Mets miss the playoffs, I'm not going to rip them. I don't think you could rip them at this point. But there's a big difference between ripping them and praising them. And I also would not, like, for the people, and there's going to be those people, oh, what a terrific job this Mets team did. No. Ultimately, if you fall short of the postseason or fall short of the ultimate goal, you failed. Now, if they max out, get to the postseason, win a round, let's say, win the wild card round, lose in the division series, all right, it is what it is. Like, you can't really expect them to go win the World Series, although I think that they can. You'd be disappointed, but you acknowledge a great season. I cannot acknowledge a great season that they were playing meaningful games in September.
Listen, I get that. I just push back, if you just tune in, I push back like 24 games to go. If the Mets go 17-7 and the Padres and the combination of teams in front of them, the Diamondbacks, the Braves, hang on. But the Mets play very quality baseball from now until the end of the season. They fall short. I don't know how you rip them. However, And I think if you do, I think it's unfair and it's really off the mark. But I do, and I hope this doesn't happen, but I absolutely think that there is a path still for this team to get ripped.
Right.
Like, if Lindor flounders the rest of the way, if Pete is just
how about this?
A relative non-entity, and if they collapse, well then, yeah, you are going to get, I'm going to rip them.
Here's the way for me. If they're a game back, tied, whatever it may be, going in that Atlanta series, and they lose that series.
Here we are again.
That's where I'm going to have a major problem. Dave is in Oceanside. What's up, Dave?
Yes, hi. I was born in 1958. I'm a fan since 65. I'm a huge Mets fan. I just want your opinion on their stretch of games down the stretch. Seven against the Phillies, three against the Braves, three against the Brewers.
Tough.
Yeah, I mean, so what? And thank you for the call, Dave, and we appreciate you taking the time to give us a call.
You could have been born yesterday, you know that.
So what?
It's tough.
So was their 10-game... Oh, how are they going to be? They have the stretch against Baltimore, and then the Diamondbacks, or Padres, then Diamondbacks. Ooh. Like, hey, there's no easy way here. I like the fact that they have games with the Phillies and the Braves and the Brewers. Go beat the good teams and show your true worth here, as they did on this West Coast trip. Nobody's been beating the Padres and Diamondbacks, and yet the Mets go in there and handle business.
I think that, yeah, I mentioned the Giants a couple of segments ago from 2 years ago. Like, I do think in football, even though it's a good achievement, you can kind of, I don't want to say backdoor your way in, because you could even backdoor a wild card, you know, teams, yeah. You know, whatever, you fall apart, you just kind of get a little lucky, you win by a game or so. But in baseball, it's very hard to just find yourself in a, wow, we're a playoff team. How did we get here? Because, you know, strength of schedule in football matters. The injury influence in the NFL is much different than baseball, even though the Mets have had a few with Senga most notably. But when you play 162 games and you play everybody, if you're a playoff team, you're a playoff team. That's right. It. You didn't backdoor anything.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, you're playing everybody. I like the schedule the way that it is. Hey, they're going to have to earn it. There's no, well, the strength of schedule is a tough. Big deal. Go earn it. I mean, what are we doing here? Oh, no, their opponents are too tough. Well, then guess what? Then they're not good enough. All right, we'll work the Yankees into the conversation. We'll continue with your Met calls as well when we come back, but we're going to work the Yankees in as well. A lot to get to with them.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.